You guys, but I'm excited for what God is doing in this house. I think I could have clapped louder than you guys, man. Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. I think that's okay. Praise God. We all know that God understands all the languages. You know, the funny thing is, right before, as we walked in, Brother Armin was talking about, I'm going to get myself settled a little bit. Brother Armin was talking about the youth. And, you know, as long as I've known Brother Armin, I know that how much hunger and a desire and a fire that he's had to reach the community. How many of you guys believe that God has placed something special in the heart of our brother, our leadership in the church, to reach the community, our Armenian community? Because as the brother said, we have an incredible history, as we all know, right? We are proud about being the first Christian nation in the world. You know, and to be honest, it didn't just start overnight. He came through a lot of persecution, and God rose up an incredible, fiery men and women of God. And, you know, and for some reason, you know, the fire has died down. But God in this generation is raising up young adults, young ministers, regardless of the age, to really reach out to the community and bring and see that fire come back alive again. Right? Amen. Why not us? Why not us? You know, God wants to reach the community. And Pastor Armin was talking about, you know, reaching the community. And sometimes, you know, he was just saying, you know, sometimes it's just a language barrier. Sometimes, you know, the younger generation, they're a little bit more, you know, easy and comfortable and listen to, you know, in English. And sometimes the Armenian may not come that that easy. Have you ever wondered when it came to the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I hope you all believe in that, because that is biblical. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Have you ever wondered why, when God gave us the language, let me ask you this way. Why did the baptism of the Holy Spirit have to accompany speaking in tongues? You ever thought about that? Why the baptism in Book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes, why did God choose to give us a sign that you are baptized by the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues? Why tongues? You ever thought about that? See, when I read the Bible, I always ask questions. I ask questions to God all the time. God, why? Because I want to understand it. I want to get to it. Because God does want us to understand His Scripture. Amen? That's why it's written in English. That's why it's written in many languages. So we can understand what He wants to say. But sometimes some things, we just take it as it is. And I just like to get a little bit more underneath. Okay, God, what is here? What is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you had to show us that in order for somebody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, they have to speak in tongues? So why tongues? Okay, maybe I'm the only one that asked that question. So here's a response that I got. This is just what I sensed the Holy Spirit speak to me. Let me ask you a question. Who did the baptism come to? The first group of people. Who were they? Come on, Bible people. Jews. Jews, right? Who were the Jews at that time? There were people that unless you were a Jew also, they would not associate with you. Right? We're Gentiles. So if you were not a Gentile, if you were not a Jew, they would not associate with you. Matter of fact, they won't even talk to you. They won't even sit with you. Matter of fact, they will go around the city just so they won't go through a city called Samaria. Remember that? Right? Even the Samaritan woman said, Jesus, what are you doing talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Samaritan. You're talking to me? Jews were hardcore when it came to keeping their own community, their own culture in place. And here is the humor of God. Pouring out languages onto Jews that are not Hebrew or Greek. What do they speak? Arabic. Oh, the biggest offense, right? I mean, we're talking about the biggest, you know, strife. Egyptian, Samaritan. I mean, there's languages all over, because the Bible says in the Book of Acts that there's thousands of different nationalities living in Jerusalem. So all of a sudden, God, in His incredible wisdom, and I think a little bit of a humor,
pours out different languages upon Jewish people who do not want to associate with any other person besides themselves. Think about it for a second. What does God want to tell us there? No more division based on language, based on culture, based on ethnicity, based on background. No more division in my house. Jesus said, my house, his house, will be called a house of prayer for all nations. How is it going to be called a house of, you know, his house for all nations if even one group of nations didn't want to associate with others? Right from the beginning, book of Acts chapter 2, God breaks that wall and says, no more division. Matter of fact, you're actually going to speak in a language of people that you don't even want to associate with. And when they hear you speaking, they're going to hear you saying incredible things about God. That's what happened in book of Acts chapter 2. Egyptians, Samaritans, all these other groups of people heard them speaking their own language, praising, glorifying God. What does that tell us today? No different. God does not want any division based on language, based on culture, based on differences in his house. Because we are his people. The Bible says no more division based on male, female, Jew, Gentile. We're all one in Christ, blood washed, because we are now in new covenant. And covenant in Christ Jesus. Amen. Isn't that interesting? I never thought of it that way. And I mean, it must be from the Holy Spirit, because I never would have thought of it that way. But I believe that's the same case for us today. And you know, I'm so excited to see what God is doing here. And I hope you have all day, because Brother Armin said we have a little bit of all day. So my message is actually really interesting, because God has spoken to me about a month ago to teach on the Holy Spirit. And he said to break down the Holy Spirit in three phases: the person, the purpose, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And by God's grace, he spoke to me. He said, this is not a message that you teach and you move on. This is a message that you stay in. Because this is the season and a time for the Holy Spirit in the church. Because if you, I don't know if you noticed this or not, maybe not in this church, but in churches in general, the Holy Spirit has kind of been put in a back burner. He's kind of like this, we all love his presence when he shows up. Everybody loves it when the comfort, the peace, the joy, the power, you know, of the Holy Spirit shows up. And, you know, we're all good about that. But many times when we leave this building, it's almost like sometimes we forget that he was even there. Let me ask you a question. Where is God the Father? He's in heaven. Where is God the Son? Sit in the right hand of God the Father. Where is God the Holy Spirit? Come on, church, talk to me, man. It's okay. I'm not going to bite. Come on. He's in us. He's on the earth. God the Holy Spirit is the one walking with us on the earth. It's no longer God the Son. Matter of fact, when God the Son said, it's better for me to go, and we're going to look into this in a minute, it's better for me to go. If I don't go, the comforter will not come. You got to think about it for a second. Imagine yourself 2016 years ago, standing next to Jesus, seeing the incredible things that he did. You just realized that this is the Son of God. God opened your eyes. You realize, man, this is the Messiah. He's our Savior. He's the one that's been proclaimed about. And all of a sudden, one day, Jesus wakes up and says, hey, guys, by the way, I'm leaving. What do you mean, Jesus, you're leaving? What are you talking about? You know, it's funny, because I always think of Peter might have said something there, you know, because Peter always, you know, spits out something, you know, without really thinking. Jesus, where are you going? You ain't going nowhere. You're going to hang out here. But Jesus had a bigger picture in mind. He said, it's better for me to go. If Jesus says something is better, I want to believe that, that he really means what he says. If it's better, then it must be better. Why is it better? Because Jesus said, listen, disciples, all these things that you experienced me do, I don't want to just limit you, and I don't want to limit my presence just within the 12 or the 72 or the 120 or the 500. I want everybody and anybody on the face of the planet that calls upon my name to experience the same things you guys are experiencing. Why? Because Jesus had the bigger picture in mind. He had the world in mind to be able to reach all nations, all groups, all languages, any given time. And just as Jesus was on the earth, the Spirit of God is on the earth with us. And the Bible says that in a word, Jesus said, another helper will come. And the word another literally means just like me, as if I never left. Literally like a mirror image of who Jesus is. So if Jesus is saying the comforter is going to come, the helper is going to come, the counselor is going to come just like me, he's saying, look, just as I helped you, just as I counseled you, just as I comforted you, same thing is going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes, as if I never left. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is good. You okay? Everybody all right?
Here's the funny thing. If you actually Google who is the Holy Spirit, you know how many results you get? Somebody said, between me and my best friend Google, we know everything. 90 million search results of who is the Holy Spirit. 90 million. You know what I'm interested in? Not in what Google has to say about the Holy Spirit. You know, there's many religions that talk about the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. They think he's just a force. My joke for Jehovah's Witnesses is I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but I witness for Jehovah. All right. Okay. All right. Tough crowd. I'm trying here. Muslims, they actually believe in the Holy Spirit, but they say that he's an angel. He's just another created being. A lot of even Christian denominations, they'll read about him. Oh, this is a good story back in, you know, Book of Acts. That's all good stuff. But today, nah, we have the Bible already. It's closed. You know, the good things have already come. You know, I don't think the Holy Spirit is needed anymore. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of misunderstandings when it comes to this, to the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm interested in? And what this book has to say about the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because as Christians, this is what we stand on. This is the foundation of our life. This church is built upon this book right here. If the church is not built on this book and this book alone, it is no longer called a church. It's called a cult or a good gathering. The Bible calls this scripture here is called holy. Asfasa shunch, right? In Armenian, I love that in Armenian. Asfasa shunch, breath of God. I love the way that in Armenian it talks about the Bible. And the Bible, you know, just means, you know, a group of books, almost like a library, because the Bible has 66 letters in there. But the foundation of all Christianity is based on this word. And the Bible says that Jesus said, heaven, earth will pass away, but not a single word, not a single letter will pass away from this word. He is supernaturally watching over his word. I call Bible the lie detector. For Christians, this is the lie detector. That's how I refer to it. You know why? Because if you know the truth, you could always tell what lie is. There was an FBI agent. I told this story all the time because it's just a good story. There was an FBI agent that worked in a counterfeit department. And he looked at counterfeit bills. That's just what he did. And there's somebody that interviewed him and said, hey, guy, you know, you've been working in this, you know, in this agency for a long, long time. So you must be looking at counterfeit bills all the time. He said, actually, no, I don't. He said, what do you mean? You don't look at the counterfeit bills. I mean, that's what you do. That's your life, right? I mean, 8 to 5, Monday to Friday, 40 hours a week. That's what you do. He said, no, listen, I don't spend 40 hours of my day looking at the counterfeit. I spend 40 hours of my day looking at the original. Because when I know what the original looks like, I could tell what the counterfeits are. Because counterfeits come in all shapes and sizes. When we know what the original looks like, you could tell what the counterfeits are all day long because counterfeits come in all shapes and sizes. So this is what I'm interested in. I'm interested in knowing what the scripture has to say about the Holy Spirit, because all these other religions, all these other Google searches, one of the things that they fail to do is they fail to look at the original text that talks about the Holy Spirit. How can you talk about someone without looking at the roots, without looking at the source of where the knowledge of the Holy Spirit came from? So that's what we're going to do today. You okay with that? Is that all right? In the church today, many times, what we like to do is we like to seek God's hands, right? God, what can you do for me? God, what can you provide for me? God, bless me. God, you know, answer my prayer. Nothing wrong with that. Bible, matter of fact, tells us, ask for me. Ask me things. Matter of fact, it says, don't even be anxious about anything. Just call on to me and I will answer. But what we sometimes fail to do as a church is we're so busy looking at his hands that we forget to look up and see his face. And the Bible says in Psalms 105, it says, seek my face continually. When you look at somebody's face, I think you see more than a face. What do you see when you look at somebody's face? You could tell if they're excited. You could tell if they're happy. You could tell if they're sad. You could tell if they're in love, right? You could tell if they're sick. You could tell a lot about the person. What does the face do? It reflects the heart. So what is God saying here? He's saying, listen, I want you not just to seek my hands. That's a good thing. But I want you to seek my heart. And the Bible says that he's created a way for us to be able to get to know him directly. Guess by who? The Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a trick question. Do you know the first name of the Holy Spirit?
Dun, dun, dun. Somebody give her a gift. Come on, man. Good job, Ms. Ellie. You know what the funny thing is? I don't always get the answer. People are like, what do you mean the first? It's funny. I like to have fun. But think about it. First and foremost, who is the Holy Spirit? He is first and foremost holy. What does it mean to be holy? He's sacred. He's set apart. He's set apart for a specific task, specific assignment. You know, the problem is in a church, a lot of times we think that the Holy Spirit is like right down here. God the Son is kind of in the middle, and God the Father is like way up here. We think in a humanly mindset, Father, Son, right, and somebody else here, maybe a relative or a cousin or someone, you know, that's related to the family. I think sometimes that's how we relate to the Holy Spirit. He's just a relative. He's just a good cousin. You know what I mean? He's just one of those good uncles. You know, he comes around and spoils the kids and leaves. I think sometimes that's how we treat the Holy Spirit. But when you look at the Bible, it doesn't give us that excuse. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I am in the Father. The Father is in me. And by the way, I'm in you. How does that all work? I have no idea. But you know, the funny thing is there's somebody that said, if someone denies the Trinity, as we like to call it, they will lose their soul. But if you try to understand the Trinity, you will lose your mind. The funny thing is in the scripture, there's plenty of scriptures that give us an understanding of it. But at the end of the day, when we see him face to face, is when we fully going to understand 100% how this whole Trinity works. How is it one God that reveals himself in three persons? We see that in the baptism of Jesus. God the Son is on the earth. God the Father speaks. God the Holy Spirit rests on him. Perfect picture of the Trinity. But it's not a hierarchy, guys. God the Father is not up here. God the Son is not down here. God the Holy Spirit is not this distant relative or this good uncle. He is God, the Bible calls it. Not only is he God, he is co-equal, exactly equal, co-eternal, and co-relational with God. Matter of fact, if you look at the Genesis chapter 1, you see him right from the beginning. It says, before anything was created, Holy Spirit was doing what? Hovering on the face of the earth, or on the face of the void. Right from the beginning, right from the first chapter of the book of Bible, Genesis, we hear him. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is there. That the Holy Spirit is present. Then if you keep going to chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, when he starts talking about creation of Adam and Eve, what does God say? Let us, plural, create men in our image. Who is he talking about? He's not talking about the angels. He's talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I hope you're with me. If you're not excited, I hope you get excited, because without the Holy Spirit, guys, somebody said it when this is what religion looks like, when a spirit leaves the building. Guys, without the Holy Spirit, it's just a good gathering. It was for the Holy Spirit that I got saved. I'm an Armenian too. Come on now. I always thought I was a Christian. Somebody said, just because you're born in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just as much as if you're born in a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. Right? We all know that old saying. You know, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit opening my eyes, actually right across from here at Capital Christian Center in 2004, I came into a church meeting at a youth conference. Actually, no, it was just a youth night. You know, I was dressed up nicely like an Armenian with a big old cross on my neck, just like an Armenian, you know, blacked out with a nice leather jacket. You know, you name it. I think he might even remember it, because I remember that brother, you know, years ago. You know, when I first walked into church, I honestly thought it was a club. I didn't think it was a church. Because the music was so loud, there was cloud. I mean, there's a smoke on a stage, lights were going. I'm like, this ain't no church, this is a club. I got so upset that I actually walked to the door to leave, because I didn't think God would be here. I mean, come on, Orthodox Armenian, man, hardcore Armenian. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to be here. This can't be God. This is blasphemy, right? I mean, you know, where's my stones? Let me cast some stones over here. I got to the door, and right about to leave, I opened the door to leave, I hear this voice. It said, you're already here, sit down. I'm like, wow, I know I don't hear voices, so this must be God. I'm not high, I'm not drunk, you know what I mean? I'm good. I know I don't hear voices. So I'm like, fine. And plus somebody, invited me, so I'm like, fine, I'll just go sit down. So I go to the farthest place that nobody could see me, because it's embarrassing now, you know, I'm sitting there, man, I don't want anybody to notice me that I'm here in this crazy place. I sat in my seat. I couldn't move. Everything that I had done was flashing right before my eyes. You know when somebody says everything you've done flashes before your eyes like a movie screen? It's exactly what happened to me. I'm sitting there. I can't move. Everything that I've done flashes rubble before my eyes. I'm like, oh my gosh. Something grips my heart. You know, I always said, you know, I didn't kill anybody. You know, I didn't steal anything. I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good Armenian, you know. Hey, nothing wrong with that, you know. I thought I was good. I got everything covered. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit was really dealing with my heart. No, no, no. Did you see what you did? Did you see what you did? Did you see what you did? And I couldn't deny it. I'm seeing it right before me. I was so, I don't know, I never felt the feeling before. Deep, deep sorrow. Deep, deep grief. Deep, deep guilt. What the heck am I doing? And here was my sinner's prayer. Ready for my sinner's prayer? God, would you give me another chance? Because I thought to myself, if I die tonight, I mean, what, 50, 60, 70? Let's just say I live 100 years. Okay. But if I die tonight, and you guys know 10 out of 10 people die, right? It's a proven statistic. Okay. Not to scare anybody, but it's just reality. 10 out of 10 people die. Average lifespan, 65, 70 years. I said, if I die tonight, where am I going? Matter of fact, I already see all the stuff that I've done. I know you don't want me. Why would you want me with all this mess in my life, the sin in my life? But I said, Lord, would you give me another chance? Guys, as soon as those words left my mouth, I felt like 50-pound weight was lifted off my shoulders. It was so dramatic that I literally get up. I check myself to make sure. I'm like, man, did I lose some weight or something? It was so dramatic. And all of a sudden, I walk in there thinking this is a club. These people are crazy, you know, all the stuff, angry at them. I get filled with this love, with this peace, with this joy. I don't know what to do with. All I know is, man, I got to go give somebody a hug. So I'm going around this Armenian with a big old cross on his neck, blacked out, giving everybody hugs. I never met him before. All I know is that, man, this is incredible. I got so much joy and love and peace in my life. And I walk out of the door, I'm looking around, I'm like, man, is the sky bluer? Is the grass greener? What just happened to me? Complete shift. And I couldn't wait to get back into church the next week. And that's how I started back in 2004, a month after I came back from Armenia. Perfect timing, Lord. God set me free. It wasn't religion that did that, guys. Nobody laid hands on me. I don't even remember anybody preaching. Nothing. All happened directly as God just got my attention. I walked in there not even looking for God. Somebody said, the good thing about being lost is that you could be found. I was definitely lost. Thank God he found me. Amen? But it wasn't religion that did that. It was this person of the Holy Spirit who's walking on the earth looking for his people, looking for who will turn his attention to God. And you know what? I know for today why the Lord got the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart. It's because it was the prayers of my mom. My mom was praying for me. Boy, you don't even know how she was praying for me. So moms, dads, keep praying. If you got family members, if you got loved ones that may not be serving the Lord yet, keep praying. I personally am a standing witness here before you. If it wasn't for the prayers of my mom, I wouldn't be here. I know that 100%. The Lord revealed that to me. But it wasn't religion, guys. It wasn't just even a good teaching. It was the person of the Holy Spirit that got a hold of my heart. And as a church, sometimes we miss that. You know, we try to come up with good programs, good entertainment to reach the community. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what we need is the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in the midst of us. But just like a person, if they walk through the door and you don't acknowledge them, do you think they'll come back again? Us Armenians, we're really good at hospitality. Boy, we'll serve you up coffee, desserts, you name it. You won't leave the table until you eat something, right? We're already programmed. I believe that's an incredible, unique gift from God in our lives. That God has programmed us to be good, hospitable, servant-hearted people. And I believe God says, I've already put that qualities in you. Now I want you to use that towards my spirit. Amen. We sang a song earlier, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I want to be so close to the Holy Spirit. When he walks in through the door, I acknowledge him. When he moves, I can sense him. When he speaks, I could hear him. When he does something, I can see that it's his work. That's how God wants us to have a relationship with him. You know, Jesus didn't die on a cross just so that we could have a good meeting or have a great religion. Matter of fact, do you remember what happened when he died on a cross? What happened that night? A lot of things happened. One thing specifically happened. Do you remember? The curtain that was dividing the Holy of Holies split from top to bottom. Do you remember that? Okay. What was that room? What was it called? Holy of Holies. What was that place for? The presence, the Shekinah presence of God. Who could go into that room? Only the high priest. Once a year. To go stand before God and say, God, forgive me and forgive your people. Intercede. Standing basically like a broker, right in between. But what happens when Jesus dies on a cross? That curtain rips apart from top to bottom. Do you know the symbolic statement that God makes right there and then? Do you know what that means? God's saying, I've had enough. I am no longer going to be confined in a building. My presence is no longer just going to be limited to one person, one time a year. God was saying, I'm done. He's breaking out of that place and saying, let me out. That's why the Bible says that you and I are the living temples of who? The Holy Spirit. God said, what room, what building, what church, what sanctuary would you build for me? Can you build anything that will contain me? But God in his wisdom says, I want to reside in you. You know what the Bible calls that in Colossians chapter 1? Paul says it this way. He said, this is the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel? Yes, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? From Genesis to Revelation, God wanted to always reside with his people. So when you look at yourself in a mirror, guess what? You're looking at the temple of God. Do you want to know where God lives? Look at yourself in the mirror. You and I are the living temple, the residence of his presence. One time, we were actually right here at the Capital Christian Center. There was a youth conference going on. And I'm standing there. I'm watching God move, man. He's doing incredible things at the lives of youth. I'm standing there watching all this, but I don't feel anything. I'm standing there dry like a stick. I'm like, what is going on? I don't feel nothing. I don't feel presence. I don't even feel goosebumps. Nothing. I don't even feel sweaty. The AC's on. I mean, what's going on? I felt zero. Zilch. But I'm seeing God touch people. I'm seeing God, you know, save people. I'm seeing God deliver people. And I'm like, I start complaining. God, what's going on? And all of a sudden, I hear something. I hear the Holy Spirit say, but son, you carry my presence. Just because you don't feel my presence, it doesn't mean that my presence is not with you. Wherever you go, whoever you are, if you are a born-again believer, Spirit of God resides in us, and you carry his presence wherever you go. That's why the Bible says, he who is in you is greater than who is in the world. That's why the Bible is so confident when he makes these statements, when he makes these promises. That he who is in you is greater who he than he who is in the world. You guys good? You guys with me? Bible says that he is holy, that he is God. But apart from that, he's also a person. We talk about this a lot. Let me ask you this quick question. What makes someone a person? Think about it for a second. So again, I ask questions. What makes somebody a person? Man, thank you, Herman. Yes. Does their body make them a person? No. Animals have bodies. We don't call them people. We've all been to funerals. We don't call a person that's dying in a that's laying in a casket. We call it a dead person, right? A dead individual that's no longer necessarily living, breathing. So what makes them a person? Their mind, their will, their emotions, their feelings. Do you know what the Bible says? That's exactly what the Holy Spirit has. He has a mind. He has a will. He has emotions. He can speak. He can make decisions. He could judge. Many times we think of the Holy Spirit just as power, just as force. Even in the church, I'm telling you, I come across this all the time. I was teaching this last week at Hoa's church. And a brother who's translating for me, you know, he went like this. He went, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy. I'm like, no. Stop right there, man. This is why we're talking about this. This is not how it works. The scripture does not give us that excuse. He is God. And he's a person, and he speaks, and we see it all over the scriptures, all over the scriptures. But in order for us to fully understand what he does, we got to look at the Trinity. So I'm going to touch on the Trinity just real quick. God the Father is the one who commands. He's the one that says, go. God the Son says, okay, Dad, I'm going to go. He starts walking. He starts doing. He starts obeying. God the Holy Spirit is the one that gives him the power to do what the God the Father told him to do. In a very basic summary, that's exactly how the whole Trinity works. Why does it work that way? I have no idea. But that's what the scripture tells us. Why did God in all of his wisdom decide to, you know, interact that way? It's up to him. I don't know. He's got incredible wisdom. There's a reason behind that. Matter of fact, I think Benny Hinn was the one that said that years ago. He said the Trinity is like this. It's like if I say, hey, go turn the AC on. Thanks for turning the AC on, by the way. If I say, hey, go turn the light on, let's just say. I give the command, somebody wakes, gets up to go, but is it that the person that brings the power to turn a light on? No, it's the electricity. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. So yes, he is power, but he's more than a power. He is the Godhead within the Trinity who's with us right now to empower his believers for the work of the ministry. So we're going to talk about a few things real quick. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you, and he will not leave. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. We already know what the word another means. We talked about it earlier. Exactly like me. As if I never left. But you know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, listen, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. What is an orphan? Orphan is somebody that doesn't have a place to belong, right? They don't know their father or mother. They don't have an inheritance. They don't have an identity. Do you know that before Jesus, we were all orphans? Whether or not we had parents or not, in the eyes of God, we're all orphans. Do you know that the world right now is an orphan? Because they don't have Christ. That's why the scripture says in Ephesians, God adopts us in. Why does he have to adopt us unless we were also orphans? Spiritually speaking, obviously, physically we have parents, we have place to belong. But spiritually speaking, in order for us to understand our identity, our purpose, understand who we are in Christ, understand really why we were born, it's all in Christ. Jesus said, I will make sure that you guys are not left to be orphans. Jesus called the Holy Spirit a comforter. Another version refers to him as the helper, the counselor, or the advocate. The Holy Spirit plays a major role in the life of the believer. And matter of fact, we can't even be a genuine believer without the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it in Titus that it's him who renews and regenerates our spirit back to God. When God said Adam and Eve, when God told Adam and Eve, hey, if you touch this fruit, if you eat this fruit, you will die. He wasn't just talking about physically. We all know this, right? He was talking about spiritually, the spiritual disconnect, death that took place. That's why Jesus had to do what? Hang on a cross to restore our gap, that relationship back with God. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit that does that regeneration, that brings us back to life with God. And he says he's going to be your helper. I love the word helper because it's such a broad word. Meaning he could help you at any time, anywhere, for anything. Think about it for a second. If you get hired for a job, how good of a boss would it be or your employer if they hire you for a position, but they don't give you the tools to do it? You're sitting around like, man, I just got hired for this good paying job, but I need a computer. You know, I need a place to sit. I need to know what I'm doing, where I'm going. Are you guys with me? Same thing with God. He is a great employer. If you think about it, he says, not only are you saved, but now I'm going to put my spirit in you. To do what? To empower you, to help you, to be your helper no matter what I call you to do. No matter what you choose to do in Christ, in me, as you obey my commandment in your life. Because I am going to give you a hand, a help. He said, I will comfort you. You know, we need comfort nowadays, man, sometimes. We go through stuff. Amazing thing about the Holy Spirit, guys, you could always, always count on him to be with you, to be there to assist you. You know, we were just talking about it earlier. Nowadays, if you feel a little down, you feel a little depressed, you go to a doctor, what do? Here's another pill you take. It's the craziest thing nowadays. It's just like, oh yeah, okay, you feel sick or you feel a little down, no problem, here's a pill, go take it. We are the most drugged out generation. Did you know that? Actually, in the entire history of this country, we are the most drugged out generation. But as believers in Christ, don't you think that we may have a little bit more of an edge compared to the world? Then maybe, just maybe, if we go before God and say, God, set me free, man. I'm sick of feeling depressed. I'm sick of feeling lonely, down, anxious, fearful. Don't we think that maybe, just maybe, God will intervene in our lives? I'm not saying that we shouldn't go see a doctor. But what I am saying is that let's go talk to this great physician that died on a cross and said, by my wounds you're healed. Maybe he meant what he said. Maybe he just did. One thing I know about God is that He just doesn't say anything. Everything that He says is there for a purpose and a reason. He doesn't just flippantly speak. That's why the Word is so important. So I think, you know, maybe, just maybe, we should go before Him and say, God, I love, as Brother Pastor Armin prayed, you know, God, deliver us. God, set me free. Because we believe in Him who's able. Guys, I used to smoke for about 10 years before I got to know the Lord. Don't tell Mom, bro. I'm just kidding. She already knows. When I was 13 years old, I picked up smoke. Actually, I would smoke every now and then when I was like 7 or 8 years old. One time, you know, that my mom ever hit me, we were in Armenia. She found out that I smoked. I probably was right here, and Mom was probably right in the back of that wall. She took her kabluk out, her high heel, and she swung it. I mean, she tossed it all across the room, man. Boom, right in the middle of my forehead. Knocked me out. I still remember that, obviously, as you can tell. So that kept me from smoking for a few years. But when I was 13, 14, high school, you know, I picked up smoking. And so I smoked till I was 20. This is actually even before I got saved. So watch what happens. I was just like, you know what? I'm tired of it. I don't want to smoke anymore. I'm done with it. I had a buddy of mine that him and I, you know, we always try to quit. 2-3 days. That's the longest we will go. We tried nicotine gum, nicotine, all this. I'm like, forget it. None of this is working. This is before me getting saved. So this is pre-2014. So one day, I'm laying on my bed. And you know what? I said, you know what? I'm just going to ask God. Because I can't do it on my own. I don't know why. Just a thought came to my head. Pray. I said, okay. So this is exactly what I said. I said, God, take this disease out of my system. Just like that. That was it. That was my prayer. I didn't even say amen. I didn't say Jesus' name. Nothing. That was my prayer. Next morning, I wake up for 2 straight weeks. No cravings, no desires. I didn't even remember that I used to smoke. 2 straight weeks. And you know how I remembered that I used to smoke? Because I got ready to leave the house. I put my jacket on. I checked my pockets. And I come across the pack. I'm like, oh my gosh. And all of a sudden it hit me. Oh my goodness, this was 2 weeks ago. And I remember that prayer that I did on my bed. And you know how long ago that was, the last smoke that I had? 2004. That was 12 years ago. Never touched it since. One day, immediate deliverance by God. Before I wasn't even saved. Think about it. How much more now? And Christ says, man, I've given you everything. How much more? Will I be able to answer the prayers of those who pray faithfully, with faith, asking my spirit, but also not forgetting to seek my face and know my heart? I'm telling you, I could go on and on and on with stories. I'll tell you one more story. We were doing a Friday night outreaches at the church. I serve at the Dream Center downtown. I've been there since 2005 or 6. And on Friday nights, we used to carry a cross, 6-foot cross, through the downtown. We would just carry it across and pray for people. That was our ministry. And you know, I always said that you could carry a dead body downtown Sacramento and not get that much attention as you do with a cross on your back. People are like, who the heck are you? Who are you crucifying? I'm like, nah, bro, don't get it twisted. He was already crucified. We're just reminding you what he did. So one day, there are many stories I could tell you, but one day we're just leaving the church and there was a few people that were with me. So as we're turning a corner, there was a couple of people on the side of the house by the church, and the Holy Spirit just prompted us to speak to them. So I put my cross down, and a couple of the guys started talking to them. And as I'm waiting for them, I'm praying for them, I'm waiting for them, I see on the other side this black brother walking down the middle of the road. And God speaks to me, says, go speak to him. I'm like, okay. So I'm standing there, I'm waiting. And the brother comes, and he's about to pass me, and the Holy Spirit's like, come on, man. He's tugging at me. Talk to him. So I finally walk over, I'm like, hey, brother, how you doing? First thing out of his mouth, hey, man, I'm high, man. I'm like, just picture it for a minute. He goes, man, I'm high. And I said, hey, brother, I said, but do you want to get set free? He goes, yeah. I said, do you believe that God could deliver you? He goes, yeah. I said, well, let's pray. So I grabbed his hand. He grabs my hand. And we start praying. 15 seconds into prayer, I open my eyes, and his brother is sweating worse than me right now. I mean, just sweating bullets. He lets go of my hand and walks back. He goes, man, I don't know if I should be mad or I should be happy. I'm not high anymore, man. God delivered him on the spot. On the spot. And I'm like, you said you wanted to be delivered and you believed that God could do it. Why are you complaining? Many, many stories like that. You know, and that's what drew me to Christ when I realized how real the Holy Spirit is. That he's not just a it. He's not just a good head knowledge that we have as believers growing up in the church and knowing some good scriptures. But he becomes a reality, becomes a lifestyle. Jesus says, this is eternal life, that you know me. The word know is not talking about head knowledge. It's talking about personal, experimental knowledge of who he is. And you know what's the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit? You can't go wrong with him. Because the Holy Spirit always does what? Points to Jesus. Jesus points to the Father. Father points down to the Holy Spirit. And on he goes. They constantly pass praise to each other. That's how it works. You can never go wrong with the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about a few more things about the Holy Spirit and we'll close out. Are you guys okay? All right, praise God. Am I doing okay, brother? Not preaching heresy, am I? All right, man. Just checking on myself. You know, even Paul, you know, when he got saved, he went to the apostles and said, hey, here's the gospel that I'm preaching. Is that all right? Okay, keep going. The Holy Spirit is so good. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. He'll comfort you. He'll help you. Here's another word. He's an advocate. You know what an advocate is? Somebody who believes in you, who says, keep going. Armin, keep going. Keep doing. He's like Barnabas. You know when he encouraged Paul? He's that encourager. You know, sometimes I believe that the Holy Spirit believes more in us than we believe in him. He's such a believer. That brother has faith. If I could put it to you that way. Jesus said, you're my brother. So, hey, there we go. He believes in us. Another word for advocate is a campaigner or supporter. We're in campaign season. You know, Donald and all those guys, right? We hear about him older. Campaigner. He's the one that goes, come on now. You got this. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that you get to where you need to get to. That's the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It's amazing. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does, his purpose in our lives is to do what? It's to sanctify us, to transform us. You know, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are born again. Our Bible says born from above. You receive his Holy Spirit and immediately Holy Spirit starts doing a transformative work in our lives. Why? Because he wants to take stuff in from us that doesn't belong and stuff in that does. Put stuff in that does. He wants to take the bad behavior, the bad attitude, and replace it with good. Replace it with Christ-like attitude. Because as believers, you know, we're called to do what? To imitate Jesus, to be like Jesus. And how can we be like Jesus? In our own strength, it's impossible. With the power of the Holy Spirit, absolutely we're able to. Because he could give us the good attitude. He could give us the ability to forgive. He could give us the ability to be joyful. He could be give us the ability to be thankful. He could be give us the ability to be sensitive to people. He could give us the ability to do what? To love. You know, when I first got saved, you know how I know for sure that I was saved? A few months later, I got saved. I ran into a guy. That boy, I hated his guts. And he was an Armenian too. Every time I would see him, he was on. We would always get into a fight from high school days. When I see him 2-3 months later after I got saved, I was shocked because I had nothing in this heart but love for him. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am saved, man. This guy is changed. I can't believe it. Because every time I would see this guy, I just wanted to go punch him out. I'm being serious. I'm being real. And all of a sudden in my heart, I had nothing but, man, I wish he could get saved too. And I start praying for him. Guys, I didn't change myself. It's a good thing. Trust me. You don't want to see pre-Tigran. You don't. You know, my wife, if you think I'm bad now, whew, I'm just kidding. I always pick on her. Guys, it's an incredible thing when the Holy Spirit transforms a person. You know what the other thing the Holy Spirit does? He guarantees their salvation. The Bible says he's like a deposit. Holy Spirit, God, Jesus puts a deposit in our hearts. The Holy Spirit calls it being sealed in him. It's like an engagement ring. You know, the marriage is about to happen. Jesus said, when I come back, I will know my own. And you know how he will know his own? Because we will have the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When you put a deposit on something, what does that mean? That means you're putting it on hold until you come back to pay it, right? Until you come back to take it. Exactly the same thing with Jesus. He says, when I come back, I'm going to know my own. I'm going to take you as my own. So guess what, guys? Whether we go see him right now, when he comes back, we see him in the air, however it works out, you and I, we're not waiting in line. We're the first ones to get in. I'm telling you. And I'm asking Jesus to give me the front row seats. I mean, I'm like, Lord, I want to be as close to you as possible. I'm like John and, you know, James. Hey, Jesus, can we sit on your right side and your left side? man, I want to get to as close as possible with him. And that's the incredible guarantee that we have to be right there with him, not waiting in line. You know the other thing the Holy Spirit does? As a Christian, he leads us to truth. Always, you could count on the Holy Spirit to always tell you the truth, to always lead you on the right path. And you know about something about truth? Truth is not just a teaching. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am truth. I am the way, the life, truth. He is a person. Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus constantly, always, daily. He wants to know us. He wants us to know him. And he wants to work in and through us. Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He prays for us, the Bible says. Constantly. Even when we don't know what to pray for, the Bible says. He helps us to pray. And for some of us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, he helps you to pray in your devotional tongues. Let me just make one more point and we'll close. Jesus said when he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's also going to work on the lives of the unbelievers. He's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit does a really good job at his job. Do you know that you and I, we can't convict anybody of their sin? You know the best thing that you and I could do is to condemn them or even criticize them. But you and I, we can be used by the Holy Spirit as he puts words in our mouth to speak to people, because he needs people to speak through, obviously. You and I, we can't convict anybody of sin. You and I, the best thing that we could do is ask the Holy Spirit, God, help me to be your mouthpiece, to be able to speak to somebody and tell them about you and say it in such a way that draws them to you and not away from you, because they're already so far away. The Holy Spirit does a really good job at his job. He knows how to convict of sin. Again, before you were saved, before I was saved, as I shared my story, I got convicted of sin. But you know, the second thing that he does is that he convicts people of righteousness. So what that means? That means that you and I, we can't be righteous in our own strength. No matter how hard you try, our own works will not ever get us to the kingdom. He reminds and reveals to the world, to the unbelievers, that look, no matter how good you think you are, you can never line up with Jesus because he's perfect. And last time I checked, I am perfect. You're not perfect, even as believers. My pastor, who happens to be also my father-in-law, it's the best thing that happened to me after serving about 9 years in the church. Who was it? Was it Jacob that worked for Leah for like 9 years or 7 years? I like to have fun, as you can tell. My pastor says, no perfect people allowed in the church, because none of us are. And the last thing that the Holy Spirit does, he says, hey, listen, there is judgment to come. Jesus, when he comes back again, guess what, guys? He's not going to come back as a lamb. He is not coming back as a little child. You know what he's coming back as? As a roaring lion. You know, the whole song goes, you know, he roars like on the inside. You know, that whole song, I forget exactly how that goes word for word. But when he comes back, guys, everybody will know. It will not be hidden just to the shepherds or just to the wise men or just a few people. When he comes, the Bible says from the north to the south, from the east to the west, they will see his coming. And when he comes, he is not sparing anybody that does not have the deposit of the Holy Spirit in them. When he comes, he's coming to judge the right from wrong, the righteous from the unrighteous. When he comes, that is the last day. No more. The Bible says it's his patience. The reason why he's not coming is because he is patient, because he wants people to get saved. Listen, the reason why Jesus didn't come back today, and I'm so thankful for it, even though I want to see him right now, is because today someone might still get saved. Someone might still turn their life to Jesus. It's his patience, the Bible says, that equals salvation. When he comes back, he's coming back to judge. And when he comes back, I hope and pray that all of us in this room will see him and welcome him as our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I hope and pray as we close today is that the Bible, well, not the Bible, excuse me. There's a good saying that I've held on to for many years. It says there's one thing greater
than going to heaven. There's one thing greater than going to heaven. It's taking somebody with you. I pray in this room as we gather every week by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, as you get to know Him, and even just today, maybe just as a reminder to you of who He is and a little summary of His purpose of what He does, that we will ask Him consistently, Holy Spirit, would you reach out to my loved one? Would you reach out to my son, to my daughter, to my relative, to the person that I don't like? Help me to like them and help me to pray for them, for their salvation. Holy Spirit, would you use me to bring somebody with me when I see you face to face? Because guess what, guys? When I stand before the Lord personally, this is just me. I don't want to stand before Him empty-handed. You know, in our Armenian community, when you go visit somebody, what do? You always take something with you, right? Bambanetka and all that good stuff, right? Okay. I'm telling you, it's amazing. God has already gifted us, man. He's already programmed us to be this way. How much more when we see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We want to take something with us. We don't want to be empty-handed. And the best thing that you and I could do is say, look, God, look at the souls, or look at the words of encouragement, or look at my obedience, or look at my faithfulness. I did something. I wasn't just idle. I wasn't just running around, living my life, and forgetting about who you are. Would you stand with me? Holy Spirit, so grateful to you, Jesus. So grateful for who you are, Holy Spirit. So grateful that you're in this room right now, in this place, hearing us, Lord God. And I hope I brought delight to you, Lord. I hope I was faithful to your word. God, I pray for each and every one of my beloved brother and sister in this room, Lord God, that you would draw their hearts even closer and closer to you. That we would go a step further from just seeking you for the sake of what you could do for us, even though that's absolutely important and your scripture tells us. But so that we would, as we are reminded of who you are and how you are actively working in our lives, that we would want to get to know you even more. Holy Spirit, I pray, you speak to us. You draw us closer. You allow our hearts, I pray you would allow our hearts to be that much more sensitive to who you are. So that, Father God, we would continue to be people marked, Father God, for your glory. Marked, Father God, for your service. Marked, Father God, as people who are also holy, set apart for the work of the ministry, for the work of service. And Father God, I know in this room there's probably not too many part-time Christians. I think they're probably all of them are full-time Christians, and I hope they are. Therefore, we are all full-time ministers. We don't have to be on staff at a church. We don't have to be necessarily with a title to serve. We could do our part. And God, I pray, Father God, in this room, that your people will do their part. There will be Joshuas and Calebs will come and lift up and help my brother Armin, Lord God, to do, Father God, his part in this ministry. That you would draw your people, Father God, to get even more involved, Lord God. That we would tithe even our time, not just our finances, but our time for the kingdom. That, Father God, we would spend time doing something productive for the kingdom of God, just like we do at our work, just like we do for our families. How much more for this heavenly family, washed by the blood of Jesus, set aside for the glory of God, to be used for your kingdom right here, right now in 2016, until we see you face to face. Father, I bless this house. I bless this house, God. I pray that this house will always be a house where you reside in. Always be a house, Lord God, where your people walk with the fullness of your spirit, fullness of your presence, Lord God. Always, Lord God, ready to give, ready to serve, ready to do what you call them to do, Lord God. That they will, Father God, put their hands on a work, put their hands on a plow and not look back, Lord God. That they will march forward, Lord God, as people of God, set aside, Father God, for the service of God. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would increase the fruit in this house, Lord God. That it will not only increase in numbers, but it will increase in quality of the disciples that you bring in, oh God. In the name of Jesus. That it will be men and women who are sold out for you, Lord God. Men and women who are on fire for the glory of God. Who are unashamedly, Lord God, unashamedly, Father God, will preach and declare and speak with love and care and truth, Lord God. Who you are. And Father God, what you've done, Lord God, and share the testimony of Christ unto whoever that you would bring to their path, Lord God. I pray a blessing upon this house of your provision,
of your protection, of your increase. And I pray that the tent of this house, the influence of this house, will only increase even more, just not only through this city, but through this nation, through even globally, Lord God. That you would use this house as a people, Father God, who are your remnant, oh God, to be able to do incredible works for the kingdom, Lord God. We bless you and we thank you for who you are, Lord God. And we thank you for this privilege and the opportunity, Lord God, to be in this place, in this house, Lord God, and to be mutually encouraged, Lord God, by what you want to speak and do to us and do in and through us. So we bless you tonight, today, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who agrees says, amen.